So, let me just say this. This is about the only time you're ever going to hear a sermon about this. Okay? I'm predicting that as you see the title of this lesson, that some of you are really interested and some of you are about to roll your eyes. Carrie Nywolf is a prominent kind of church leader that I follow. I don't agree with everything he believes, but anyhow, he lives over in Canada, and he is the leader of a very, very large church in Canada. And one of the things he did with this church he's a part of was he solicited the congregation of, what questions do you have? What do you want to hear sermons about? And out of 16,000 people that submitted something, the number one question was about aliens. Specifically, actually, the question was, does the Bible allow for the existence of aliens? It's kind of becoming more popular today, but it is something that has really been around for, well, quite some time, to be honest with you. Even in the early 1900s, there was talk and entertainment of basically aliens. TV shows, movies, Men in Black, Alien versus Predator. When I was a kid, one of the more popular movies was E.T., The X-Files, Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who. I mean, the entertainment industry is filled with the concept of aliens. And even more than entertainment, you have a series on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens, where they attempt to explain, these really nice shaped pyramids and carvings and stuff of times past. Maybe aliens did that, basically, or maybe some historical or alleged events that happened in the past. Maybe it was aliens coming down in these various cultures and everything. And, you know, if you think about it, it's a question that probably we ought to look into. I will say I'm not a UFO guru or anything like that, but you've got a lot of blogs, you've got a lot of podcasts, I remember Coast to Coast, it comes on I think at 1 a.m. in the morning for years. A lot of that has been devoted to UFOs, and you've got people who have written books who have allegedly been abducted by aliens. You've got people who have, there's all kinds of alleged eyewitness testimony about, UFOs and aliens. There is, Area 51, the big mystery of the government site. I mean, I can go on and on and on and talk to you about the buzz that is out there. One of the things that kind of got my attention, if we go to the next slide, is the government even released this one, basically. This is a legit, it's a video, you can watch it on YouTube, but this is a photo from this video of one of our top-of-the-line fighter jets documenting this flying UFO, a UFO meaning unidentified flying object. And by the way, let me just say this, a UFO doesn't mean alien. This could be secret, this could be some kind of technological advancement that the government has that even people in the government don't know about, I guess is how I want to put that, basically. So every time you ever see some kind of alleged UFO, that doesn't always equal aliens, but it does beg the question of, hey, when you think of the idea of, what was it, I think according to, let me turn my thing down. According to the idea of all of the stars and the planets that are out there, are we alone? When you look and beyond the eye can see and the telescope can see, there's all these other stars and the planets out there. Are we the only beings that are alive? Now, I found two extremes with this. One extreme is I found a lot of Christians just roll their eyes at this question, and we just, the idea of intelligent life beyond our planet is something that you just laugh at, we ignore, we dismiss, and everything. And the other extreme is I found from the secular community the desire to want to believe in intelligent life out there, because somehow there's a lot of people out there that believes that if there is other life out there, that will dismiss organized religion, in, namely Christianity, and they don't want to believe in Christianity. So as a result of that, they want to believe in aliens, and they gravitate towards that because that would dismiss organized religion. And I don't believe that at all. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to give a bunch of questions about the Bible and particularly aliens, not even necessarily UFOs. And I want to try to look at this at a biblical perspective as much as possible. So first off, consider a first question. I have a total of, I'll just let you know now, five questions. Okay, the first question is, what does the Bible say about aliens? And the answer to that question is nothing. Not a thing do we find of aliens in the Bible. Now, some people try to go to the book of Ezekiel or this and that and go to Genesis 6 and say that was aliens, and we'll get to that here in a second maybe. But the Bible doesn't mention anything about it. So sometimes the assumption is, well, if the Bible doesn't mention anything about aliens, then clearly they don't exist. I don't believe that's true. Does the Bible mention every sea creature in the sea? Well, if it doesn't, then apparently those sea creatures don't exist. I mean, think about that reasoning or that logic. It doesn't follow, basically. And so just because the Bible doesn't say anything about specifically aliens doesn't mean they don't exist. In fact, if they do exist, God created them. You understand that? You know, in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, the Bible says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's the first rank because He is God. For by Him all things were created that are, notice this, in heaven, that is, beyond this earth, the universe, in other words, okay? And that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And watch this, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. So if aliens do actually exist, okay, and I don't think you can really know, because I'm not convinced there's any concrete evidence out there of it, but God created them, okay? God created them. And by the way, I'm just going to tell you this. There is a lot of these questions are just speculation because there's so much we don't know, okay? And maybe that's where you may roll your eyes or something, but let's consider question number two, okay? Here's the thing, and here's the, this is perhaps the next two questions I think are the most important that I want you to know, okay? The very existence, if there really were aliens, how does that affect or influence Christianity? Again, you got a lot of people saying, well, you know, if they exist and they're not, you might as well give up your religion. And I think that's one of the dumbest things I think has ever been said. But if aliens do exist, let's talk about this for a second. What foundational beliefs that we have all of a sudden now become untrue? Now, what do I mean by foundational beliefs? There are three of them. Are you ready? The existence of God, the resurrection of Christ, and the inspiration of the Bible. All right? If there really is an intelligent life out there, okay, how does that dismiss the existence of God? It really doesn't. Wednesday night, we're going through the book of Proverbs in the boys' class, the high school, elementary, kind of the high school boys' class, and they had a memory verse I gave them. I try to give them a memory verse each Wednesday, and the very first memory verse I gave them is the very theme and key verse of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, and it says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That is one of the most, in my opinion, the most important verses in the Bible, not only just to memorize, but to know exactly what it means. Our attitude towards God determines everything about us, and if we have a healthy fear of God, that shapes our belief and it shapes our behavior. But in order to really fear God, we've got to know there is a God. And that's one of the things I spent telling them. Listen, guys, I want you to think about this, all right? You exist. How did you come to exist? Well, you've got to explain your very existence outside of yourself. Well, that was your parents and your grandparents. And eventually we can trace ourselves back to the original human beings, basically, Adam and Eve. But the truth of the matter is, something can't come from nothing. We see that. The law of biogenesis says life only comes from pre-existing life. All right? And if there ever was a time that nothing existed, it would be the same today. The truth of the matter is, in order for us to explain our very existence, there must be something outside of space, outside of matter, material, and outside of time. You cannot explain our very existence unless there's something that's always existed. You cannot explain our existence unless there is something that is eternal, that is immaterial, and is spiritual. And guess what? That being is God. And the very fact that there may be intelligent life out there doesn't change that truth. You understand that? I remember several years ago, there was a documentary that came out called Expelled. And you can watch it, I think, maybe for free now on YouTube. But Ben Stein is a Jewish man who believes in God. And basically, he went around and he interviewed people in academia, colleges and stuff, who believed in the existence of God or intelligent design. And he shows how they're being persecuted and they're losing their jobs and things like that. And there is this, for years, has been this agenda against religion and against the existence of God in academics, basically. And that's what the documentary is about. Well, at the end of the documentary, he interviews one of the world's most famous atheists named Richard Dawkins. And one of the questions, and I don't know specifically the answer, one of the questions he asked was this. He said, what if there is evidence of intelligent life out there or intelligent design out there? How would you explain that? And I kid you not, here's what this guy said, basically. That if there is evidence of intelligent design, of, like, for instance, us being created, he said it had to come from some other ancient civilization that created us. In other words, the only way one of the world's most famous atheists would ever admit to the concept of intelligent design and creation, it couldn't come from God, it had to come from a bunch of aliens. I mean, think about that for a moment and just try to wrap your mind around that very concept. Even if that were true, that still doesn't dismiss who created the aliens. If aliens created us, who created them? It doesn't dismiss anything. It doesn't dismiss God's existence. I can go on, but I'm not going to do that. Here's another thing. Okay, another core foundational belief we have is in the resurrection of Christ. If aliens really do exist, how does that dismiss the evidence for the resurrection and what we know for the fact that Jesus rose from the dead? It doesn't. How does it dismiss the fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus fulfilled in being raised from the dead? How does it dismiss the evidence for the empty tomb? How does it dismiss the credibility of the apostles who were eyewitnesses, as well as 500 other people who were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ? It doesn't dismiss their credibility. It doesn't dismiss their story. It doesn't dismiss their martyrdom. It doesn't dismiss fulfilled prophecy. It doesn't dismiss the miracles that Jesus did. It doesn't dismiss anything or change anything about the resurrection of Christ, does it? No. It's the same thing with the inspiration of the Bible. How does the existence of aliens change the very fact that the Bible is the Word of God and the evidence for it? It's remarkable unity, it's fulfilled prophecy, it's scientific foreknowledge, and we could go on and go on about that. How does it change that? It doesn't change any of that. These facts stand on their own. So it doesn't matter if we discover intelligent life out there or not. It doesn't change any core doctrines or any foundational beliefs. Neither does it change, by the way, any core doctrines. Now, what do I mean by core doctrines? The existence of one God, who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In other words, if there are aliens out there, that doesn't mean there's a bunch of gods out there. By very definition, to explain the origin of life, there can only be one God who created everything. You can't have a bunch of others like the Greeks had and things like that. It doesn't change the doctrine of redemption from sin, our salvation from sin, or that God's forgiveness and how we have violated God's law, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It doesn't change the authority of the Bible. It doesn't redefine sin. What really changes that is core to us if this were true? And the answer is nothing. Now, Because it doesn't dismiss the Christian faith and our core beliefs, does that mean there still aren't any good questions? Now, here's the deal. The next two questions and the last two questions of this lesson, okay, have to deal with the concept of speculation. In other words, if aliens do really exist, then, okay, and these questions are just speculation. We already just established the fact that it doesn't change the truthfulness of Christianity. But notice the next question. If aliens do exist, what about their salvation from sin? You know, it opens up a can of worms that is just speculation that we just don't know. Okay, do they need the gospel? Do they have souls? Are they eternal beings? Or are they just like animals? There's a lot of that. I don't know. Someone has proposed their four alternatives. If aliens exist, they're not fallen, but they also have no need of redemption. In other words, they don't have an eternal soul. Maybe they're just like animals, basically. Or how about, maybe they're fallen angels or demons. We'll talk about that here in a second. Or maybe they're similar to angels. The second option is aliens have an eternal soul, but God maybe has created a system of salvation for them on their planet. In conjunction with that, some have said that aliens may have souls, but their redemption is included in Christ's work on earth, or they have eternal souls, but Jesus repeated his work of redemption dying on the cross on some other planet. You know, the last one I have a hard time believing in, but I'm just saying, does it raise a bunch of questions we don't have answers to? Sure it does. Sure it does. If it's true, then here's some questions, and we just don't have the answers to those questions. But again, just because we don't have the answer to those questions doesn't mean all of a sudden the Christianity should be dismissed, because it doesn't change any core truths, any foundational beliefs, or core doctrines that we already know that you've already been taught. Nothing changes there. All right? So here's the next question. And a lot of this in some ways is in response to the documentary or docuseries on the History Channel, Ancient Aliens and things like that. Some people really believe that aliens came down in the past and they interacted with humanity and building and in technology and things like that. And you can find stuff like this all over the world and everything. And how do you explain that, basically? Well, I don't really I think I have to explain that to believe in the scriptures and to believe in God and believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I don't have to explain it, okay? But I can give you some speculations. Let me give you an example. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6 with me real quickly. I just want to share with you what some people believe. And I personally don't believe this, but I want to share with you what some people believe. In Genesis chapter 6, we have here God destroying the world with water. Okay? One of the things you find in verse 2, it says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves and all whom they chose. And that, as a result of that, that's why the world became wicked and corrupt, and God destroyed the world, because the sons of God bred with the daughters of men. Now, who are the sons of God? That's the question. I personally believe that it was descendants of Seth marrying the descendants of Cain, and the descendants of Cain were wicked individuals. The descendants of Seth were godly people, and because they married the wrong individuals, and the whole world as a result of that became corrupt, okay? Some people believe that the sons of God here are fallen angels or demons, and that God allowed fallen angels to intermarry and to breed with women. And that's why you had giants on the earth, and that's why things became really wicked. That's a very, very popular view, by the way. Well, some people have come along and said, well, these angels were demons or fallen angels, but they also were aliens. You understand that? And some people say, well, they're aliens in Genesis 6. Now, again, personally, I don't believe that. And one of the reasons I don't believe that is anytime you come across angelic beings, okay, for instance, in Matthew chapter 22, angels don't marry. They can't reproduce. They can't procreate. We don't have any evidence of that. And so, but some people, by the way, believe that. Now, let me give you one more example. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. This is one of the more interesting chapters in the Bible, and let me just explain this real quickly. Romans chapter 1 is about, in one sense, is a summary of all the nations who have rejected God. I think it's a commentary about the United States of America today, too, by the way. And Romans 1 is about, hey, everyone knows deep down God exists. You can't tell me when you look at this building that this auditorium came by means of an accident. Or we just give it enough time, millions or billions of years, and eventually all of these pieces come together and boop, boop, we got a beautiful auditorium. Nobody believes that. In fact, you'd be insane if you believe that. But how much more intricate are the designs of the human body, the universe, and the things that we see, and how much more complex we see intelligent design beyond this building, inside ourselves, even in DNA. And yet, we still say there is no God. Some people, no matter what, will reject God. Okay? And here's the deal. When you read Romans chapter 1, when you reject God, here's what you do. You form your own religion. And that's what we find in verses 20 through 22. It says, therefore, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, and even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Listen, when you reject God, you're going to be a religious person. You're just going to form your own religion, okay? You're going to pick and choose what you believe. You're going to make your own religion. You're going to make your own set of beliefs, okay? And here's the deal. When you read the rest of Romans chapter 1, guess what we find? God says, okay, go right ahead. You know, He wants you to follow Him. He doesn't need us. But He's going to give you the right to do whatever you want to do, by the way. And if you want to make up your own religion, God says, go right ahead. Go on. I'm going to give you up. And He says it three times in this text in Romans 1. I'm going to give you up. And guess what? When you read Romans 1, you see society getting really nasty and bad. You see immorality like you've never seen, and it only grows worse and worse and worse and worse. And then you have people come along as you look at the history of man without God saying, hey, we need to get things better. We need to have a set of morals. And people go, well, why should we do that? Well, let's form our own religion as a result of that. Now, forming your own religion. God says, you want to do that? Go right ahead. I'll give you up. Now, here's another question. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 with me real quickly. And I want you to notice something about demons. Again, I can't say this is a fact, but this is, I would say, is a possibility. Notice, in reference to sacrificing to idols in context, what does it say? It says, rather, the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Did you hear that? It seems that God allowed to a certain degree with these pagan religions some form of demonic activity. Now, do the what extreme and all of that? I will tell you this. If you go to Galatians chapter 5, and you look at the list of sins called the works of the flesh, beginning in verse 20 through verse 23 there, one of those sins is sorcery. And you know, go back and look at the Greek word of that word sorcery. And you know what it is? It's the Greek word pharmakia. And it's mentioned several times and it's typically translated as sorcery. And it's where we get our word pharmacy. Now, by the way, I want you to say this. I'm not saying that if you go to a pharmacist and get pills, you're committing sorcery. But it ties into one of the ideas, by the way, of one of the beliefs that they did have in times past is the way that people believed they could commune with pagan gods was by taking drugs. was by getting drunk, was by eating kinds of things, and basically as today, getting high. And they believed that's how you could communicate with the gods. And so it leaves open a bunch of questions. Did God allow them to communicate with demons that way? What kind of demonic activity existed with pagans? How does that actually really tie in with the idea today or times past of aliens? All of these are interesting questions that, I'll be honest, I don't have a specific answer to. Okay? But the bottom line is when you look at Scripture and look at this, you know, for instance, I've heard stuff, you know, Jesus was an alien. Well, if he was, he lied. Because according to Scripture, he's God. He's not a created being. You understand that? That's a bunch of foolishness, okay? And you're going to hear stuff that's contrary to the Bible. And if we know the Bible is true, if we know the Bible is the Word of God, then what God says is true, then there's a lot of that stuff we can dismiss, okay? But at the same time, though, again, are there some questions we don't have answers to? The answer is yes, because of a lack of information. But even at that, even if we did have this information, nothing really changes about our core beliefs, our core values, our core doctrines that are taught in Scripture that we know to be true. The fact of the matter is, you know, I don't know if this is an interest of yours. Here's what I have found. I have found with the older generations, the idea of aliens is something that is stupid and laughable. Am I right? But with the younger generations, it is something that people are completely, you know, UFOs. There is a following and there is a movement that is growing like you had never believed in our world today. And there's a fascination with it with the younger generations. I'm just trying to tell the older generations, there is a fascination with that more than you realize, okay? And there is a lot out there. There's a lot of rabbit holes you can go down. And the truth of the matter is a lot of people wonder, and sometimes I've known people to doubt their faith over just the very possibility of a UFO or the very possibility of the existence of aliens. And the truth of the matter is, no. God is still exists. And if aliens exist, He created them. That doesn't dismiss the evidence for the existence of God, the evidence, again, for the resurrection, and the evidence that the Bible is ultimately the Word of God. A lot of other questions we don't have answers to, and maybe we won't know them in this life. Maybe we'll understand some of this when we leave this world and we go into eternity to be with the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, the greatest thing we can do at this time is to put our trust in God and to continue to live for the Lord no matter what's out there, no matter what other people believe. We're going to follow the Lord. And you know what? If you're here this morning, I know in one sense, how do you tie salvation into this? Well, let's do it, okay? You were created in the image of God, and our sins separate us from God. And so as a result of that damnation that we've chosen, this path in life we've chosen to follow, God is the one who made it possible to reconcile us back to Him. That's our greatest problem in life. Our greatest problem is a sin problem. And God has made it possible through the cross of Christ that through His death on the cross, He paid the price for our sins. And through His resurrection from the dead, we have the hope of eternal life. And you know, if you believe that this morning, and you're convinced that the truthfulness of that, and that you desire that salvation that Jesus provides, and you want to turn away from a life of sin, that's what repentance is, by the way. You can confess you believe Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and we'll baptize you to have your sins washed away, as the Bible teaches in Acts 22 and verse 16.